Welcome to Everything Pro Wrestling. Everything Pro Wrestling is a show by the fans, for the fans. And I am your host, Conrad Cushman, and we are here today to talk about the main roster's effect on NXT.
Seth, really, in over our heads, that's adorable. Because I get it, you guys haven't been here for a while, but let me remind you, and I think a lot of people here will agree, NXT is way better than the WWE.
This is episode 46 of the Everything Pro Wrestling Podcast, and today we are going to talk about WWE's effect on NXT. Now, I want to warn you guys, there is no paper in front of me. There are no notes taken, so this is all coming off the top of the head, and this is going to be a genuine conversation between the podcaster and the listeners. So I want you guys just to sit back and kind of relax. Grab your favorite beverage, and let's have a deep conversation about this. Now, when you are talking about WWE's effect on NXT, you're probably wondering, what made you want to do this topic? It goes back to last night's Monday Night Raw. Monday Night Raw was in Louisiana last night at the Cajun Dome, and we had an announcement take place 2 hours prior to Monday Night Raw, so around 6 o'clock-ish. Everyone gets an alert that's saying that we see Ricochet, Johnny Gargano, Tommaso Ciampa, and Aleister Black in the area, and they're showing up at the arena for Monday Night Raw. Some people got overhyped for it, saying, hey, maybe they're going to debut. At first, I'm not going to lie, I thought that maybe they're just going to rehearse NXT TakeOver plans for WrestleMania weekend with Triple H. Who knows what it could be? I try not to hype myself up for these kind of announcements right away. So the beginning of Monday Night Raw, Triple H kicks off the show, and he ends up, you know, talking about the Becky Lynch stuff that's going on. We all love that. Becky Lynch is awesome, and we all hope the best for her for WrestleMania. DX going into the Hall of Fame. Happy that China's finally going in, but I also have some reserves about it, and that's another story for another time. And he also planned to debut 4 NXT guys on this Monday Night Raw show. So these 4 NXT talents were making their Monday Night Raw debut. Who were the 4 talents? You had Ricochet, Johnny Gargano, Tommaso Ciampa, and Aleister Black. So I was wrong about that. But very cool to see those guys come out there. And Ricochet was in a match where he teamed up with Finn Balor, who was the new Intercontinental Champ, and they faced Bobby Lashley and Leo Rush. Now, during all of these announcements for it, the fans sat on their hands. And I thought maybe they were kind of, you know, tired and they didn't want to see anything. They got a horrible opening match with Braun Strowman and Baron Corbin. But I'm like, oh, here comes Ricochet. So they're going to be hyped. Ricochet makes the save for Finn Balor. Tag team match playa. You knew it was coming. So we're sitting there. And I know that there's a lack of cohesiveness in the storylines that Bobby Lashley beat up Leo Rush. And now Leo Rush is still with Bobby Lashley. I get it completely. But Ricochet's out there, and if you've ever seen this guy wrestle, he can move. But the fans in the Cajun Dome were sitting on their hands. There was no really loud pops. I mean, they kind of, you heard little ones from the loud fans from it. But other than that, these guys sat on their hands, and this debut was uneventful because the crowd wasn't into it. And the crowd makes up for a big portion of the show. I don't care what anyone says. Think about it. WrestleMania, the next night, they had that big Monday Night Raw show, the Raw After Mania. And what makes that show? Wrestling fans like me, wrestling fans like you, going crazy for it because we absolutely love wrestling and we watch it year-round. And it's not, oh, someone drugged me here and I don't really want to be here. I get that happens. I live in a medium-sized market in Buffalo, New York. I completely get it. Sometimes there's people there who don't want to be there or there's people there who don't really enjoy the product. I get it. But when it comes to these NXT talents, I think you picked the wrong city to debut these guys in. Triple H, Vince. I don't know what this whole someone's blitzing you and you got to make a quick play, but I don't know why you guys did this. It made zero sense to debut him here. And to me, it reminded me of when they had Buff Bagwell and Booker T go out there in Washington, and the next week they were in Atlanta, Georgia. Like, I just felt like it was a miss and they didn't line this up properly. You need a crowd that's going to be familiar with these guys so they can teach these smaller cities, like, hey, Ricochet's a big deal, man. This guy's really good. You need to know about him if you haven't been watching NXT. So you're probably wondering, how did the other guys fare? Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa ended up facing The Revival. So we had a reunited DIY versus The Revival. Let's go back real quick into 2016, where NXT TakeOver Toronto, this was match of the year in my opinion. They had an awesome 2 out of 3 falls match, one that nobody could complain about. I personally think it might be a top 10 tag team match of all time. That's how good it was. How can you hate The Revival? They're old school, and they just beat ass, and they're just great heels. And Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa, you can ask anybody who watched NXT with me. They are my favorite tag team. I always pick them to win because that's what my heart told me to do, because they were one of my favorite tag teams. And now they're on to prosperous singles careers. But I just shook my head at this because the crowd wasn't as live as I expected them to be. In my opinion, that was still the best match on Monday Night Raw, the tag match, but it still wasn't where it needed to be. Well, maybe they'll come alive for Aleister Black, right? Aleister Black's got the cool entrance. He'll make you fade to black. As Aleister Black rose up from the ground, not one peep from the crowd. Aleister Black hit some devastating moves, and you heard maybe like a little, oh, he elbowed him to the face. Dude, these are amazing strikes, and Aleister Black hits the Black Mass. 1, 2, 3 on Elias. Nothing. The crowd is silent, man. It just felt very weird, and I expected the crowd to be much more alive for this show. And they should have been. 100%. If you're not watching NXT, I'm telling you guys this right now. You're missing out on the best brand in the WWE, period. It's probably, if I had to choose one WWE program that I would watch, it's NXT. I think it's way better than the main roster, and the main roster have screwed up so many opportunities with so many different people that it'll make you sick. It's absolutely terrible what they've done. But look at stuff like the NXT TakeOver shows, for example. Tell me one time that you ever thought perhaps the main roster outperformed NXT TakeOver. I really can't think of many. That Royal Rumble show was close recently, maybe, but it wasn't that much better. I still think NXT nudged them out. And that's not saying much because NXT still put on a good show. I'm trying to think of what else. I can't think of any other times, really. WrestleMania 33, I felt that was a show that wasn't all that great, but I've never went back to watch it on the network because I was there live. But WrestleMania felt larger than life, and I went with people who it was their first time going to WrestleMania 33. Okay. So, with all that being said, the main roster doesn't outperform these TakeOver shows. We also don't get as many TakeOver shows all the time either. We get them every couple months, and you know when they're coming up. And we get these main roster shows every freaking month. We've had the Royal Rumble, Elimination Chamber. We still have Fastlane in a couple weeks, and then WrestleMania. 4 pay-per-views for 2 takeovers. Keep that in mind. Not good, in my opinion, not good. But the main roster tries, but their lack of storytelling is another thing that we could talk about. Like I said, tell your friends this stuff. If they think that, I don't watch NXT, I don't have time for it, I don't think it's that important. Oh no, it is. Because the storytelling is so much better. Look at the storyline with Tommaso Ciampa, Johnny Gargano, the DIY breakup, the injuries, the involvement with Aleister Black. so much goodness involved in all of that. What about the match with Tommaso Ciampa and Velveteen Dream? Even the little pit stops along the way that all make it worthwhile because of excellent matches and character development too. That's another thing people aren't thinking about. And you had guys who had meaning when they were down there. Some people that might be the best part of their careers. We heard rumors of Ty Dillinger asking to be sent back down to NXT. Bro, you know the main roster's not doing it right if people want to go back to NXT. And as I sit here, I'm just shaking my head, man, because you have the best roster in the world, WWE. And I'm saying it. I don't care about the AEW stuff and all that. Right now, we haven't seen what AEW can do. And I hope that they're able to produce the best talent. But right now, in my mind, the WWE has the best roster in the world, and they're not using these guys properly at all. It just makes me sad because it feels like it's such a waste of time and energy for so many of these guys, and I absolutely hate it. Absolutely hate it, dude. I just wish it could be so much better. And I have no idea what to do or how to tell WWE, look at what you have in front of you. It seems like Vince McMahon and all of his people backstage don't care. And I've said it before, and I'll say it again. I feel like back in the day when it was at least Bruce Pritchard, Paul Heyman, Pat Patterson, Gerald Briscoe, I think some of these guys stood up to Vince sometimes and just said, hey, man, that's a really bad idea, just so you know. And I feel like no one's doing that at this point because how are all these bad ideas making it to the floor? Like Road Dogg or somebody needs to step up and say something. And maybe he does and we don't know about it. And Vince just says no. I don't know how it works, but somebody's got to pull this guy to the side and just say, Vince, this isn't working, man. We're heading down a bad path. I know that you're getting that money from Saudi Arabia. I get it, dude. That sweet Saudi money, you got to have it. Whatever, bro. You need it for the corporation. I get it. And no pun intended with that. But at the same time, you're hurting your audience. There's so many people in my Everything Pro Wrestling Facebook group who are tired. They are drained from the main roster. I've had people who just stopped watching wrestling, period. They just stopped. I don't hear them talk about it, see them in the group anymore. It's sad. And I'm just like, dude, what happened? And I think people lost the passion to watch WWE because it's not the same like it used to be. Vince has to care. You can't wait for this AEW effect to continue happening. I know Vince is worried about losing teams like the Usos, the Revival, hell, Zack Ryder and Curt Hawkins even. AEW will work with whatever they have. And Vince McMahon is trying to hold on to every single person that he can, but I don't think he's going to be able to. You can't have it all, man. Who knows? Who knows who goes, who stays, who goes to AEW, what happens with NXT. But I wanted to sit here today and have a little breakdown session talking about what WWE has done with some of the people who have left. Now, as I said, you're going to hear me clicking on the computer mouse. I have a bunch of stuff pulled up, and I'm going to try and just siphon through it. And like I said, talking from the heart, go through some of the wrestlers who have passed through NXT since its inception. And I'm talking about while it was down in Florida with Dusty Rhodes and everything else, not that horrible show that they used to have on TV. But, and Daniel Bryan was on there. But I want to talk about when they tried to make NXT that brand for developmental and how it's now become its own brand, in my opinion. Now, before we get into all of that, I want you guys to do me a favor and make sure that you check out Josh Burton, Peyton Burton, and Tyler Cook's Everything College Basketball. Everything College Basketball is an excellent show every week. They produce a podcast that you guys do not want to miss here on the Anchor app. So make sure you type in Everything College Basketball, download their podcast, sit back and listen before March Madness happens, and you guys can be in the right spots with your picks from all of the information that those guys bring out. They are an excellent group of guys. They've been helping me out with stuff, and I've been helping them out with stuff as well. So make sure you show them some love and check them out. Let's take a little break here, and then we'll get into some of the talent that's been wasted by WWE's main roster and some who WWE have propped up and made better. We'll be right back after this.
This is Brian Mazik, the hardest working man in sports and gaming, and you are listening to my man Conrad Cushman and Everything Pro Wrestling.
All right, wrestling fans, and we're back, and we are here to finish up our discussion on WWE's effect on NXT. Let's get it started here with some of the listings that we have. I'm going to go all the way back to the beginning with some of these NXT alumni. Now, let's look at Dean Ambrose. He didn't hold any developmental championships, made his main roster debut. I think he's absolutely a success. I mean, he held the Intercontinental title, the WWE title, the tag belts, and he's done all right. So there's really nothing too bad about him. Same thing with Seth Rollins. He was a champ down in NXT. He was the first ever NXT champion, actually. And Roman Reigns was down there as well. The Shield is someone that I would absolutely consider to be a success by WWE. I think they did an excellent job building these guys up. They brought them up to the main roster with purpose and gave them something to do. And during that time frame, the Shield had some of the best six-man tag matches. Since then, how have they been handled? We've seen hot and cold moments, more so cold for Dean Ambrose than any one of the three. But I also feel that Roman Reigns has a lot of heel heat during this time. He got booed an awful lot. Just recently is when people actually started getting into him a little bit more. And it just sounds like some people, actually, I take that back. There's two camps for Roman. You either love Roman or you hate Roman. There's really not too many in between that I see wishy-washy about him. I like Roman personally. I know a lot of other people don't, but I get it too why you don't like him. He's the same character. He stayed in the Shield gear. He never really developed himself. And they use Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose to get him cheers. Rollins is someone who's been very up and down. He gets hot for a little bit, then he's cold. They put the title belt on Rollins first. They had him, you know, cash in Money in the Bank on Roman Reigns. Rollins has done a lot in his short period of time, but recently it seems like he's been in that upper mid card and hasn't been able to find his footing since he got back from that injury to his knee. And Rollins really hasn't been the same. But it's good to see that Seth Rollins is finding his footing and he's getting the main event WrestleMania this year. So like I said, The Shield, one of WWE's success stories. Next, someone else that I put on their success story, Big E. I think Big E Langston, he didn't work out right away and they were trying to find what worked for him. They put him with Dolph Ziggler kind of as the muscle. He was the second ever NXT champion though. And he did a lot. He's been tag team champion multiple times with New Day. He was a one-time Intercontinental champion. Big E's got a lot of potential, and I think that's somebody that we can all look back upon and say they did the right thing with him in the long term. It took him a second to figure it out. Same thing with Xavier Woods. Xavier Woods could not find his footing, I felt, in NXT. He just suffered so badly when he had the Brodus Clay, Somebody Call My Mama music. Xavier Woods was out there dancing, shucking and jiving. I hated it. It just felt like it wasn't him. He was flipping his hair back, had the water all come off of it. But once Xavier Woods was able to get into his character and get into the video games and be who he really is, that's when he started to shine, and that's when people started to love the New Day and Xavier Woods. And he's another one that I would say is a success story. He was much better, I feel, on the WWE than he was on NXT. Now, I'm looking through this list here, and I'm trying to find someone else. Perhaps Kevin Owens is another one who you get wishy-washy on him. But I think Kevin Owens wasn't in NXT that long. He had his storyline with Sami Zayn down there, carried over to the main roster. Kevin Owens came onto the main roster, one of the few guys who got to move up from where he was, defeating John Cena. He came in, he did a lot of big things. He's been a Universal Champion. I think he's been a 3-time U.S. Champ, 2-time Intercontinental. Kevin Owens has done some big things, so he's another one. I'll give WWE their props. They've done their thing with him. And no, title reigns don't mean success either, because you're going to hear some other names that come up. Becky Lynch. I think Becky Lynch was overlooked down in NXT. Main roster, she was the first ever SmackDown Live Women's Champion. She is also potentially going to main event WrestleMania 35. It's looking real good for her. Braun Strowman, another success person that WWE did some good things with. Is he doing great now? No, I think that's starting to fizzle out. But in the beginning of Braun Strowman's career, when he first joined the Wyatt family, nobody knew who he was. He never wrestled a match on NXT because he was their pet project. But now it's starting to turn a little bit. But Braun Strowman had a lot of success on the main roster at first. I think that they just didn't strike while the iron's hot with him. Let me see who else, if I could drop some names. Alexa Bliss is another one that I'll say. I'll even lump Carmella in there, who had a better run. And yeah, that's about it. So Alexa Bliss and Carmella both really didn't do too much in the female division down in NXT when it was happening, but there was a load of talent at that time too. And I felt they were in their proper places. But since coming up onto the main roster, whether I like it or not, Alexa Bliss and Carmella did their thing, and they've both had successful title reigns on the SmackDown brand. And Alexa has also went on the Raw and had successful title reigns. Now, I know I didn't get into some of the other people who have been around, because I'm going to get into kind of part of my problem with some of that too when we look at it. But let's look at some of the names that did fail. And I'm going to try and keep it brief, because there's going to be a lot of names to go through. Let's look at Fandango. What was the effect on Fandango from all of this? He came up on the main roster. I mean, he got to main event a WrestleMania match with Chris Jericho. I was there for that. Shout out to his first dancer. That was the brunette. She was actually from University of Buffalo. Whoop, whoop. But Fandango is now in the Fashion Police with Tyler Breeze. So wasted. Tyler Breeze, another guy. This man fought Jushin Thunder Liger at one point, and even on NXT, I felt he was overlooked. Tyler Breeze is someone who could definitely benefit if he went to an AEW or went somewhere else. I think the guy has so much talent. The man was trained by Lance Storm. He makes everything look good. Tyler Breeze was a good mid-card act that you had ready and waiting for you, and they just didn't push him, and I don't know why. Summer Rae. Summer Rae was someone who I thought wasn't that bad down in NXT. I thought that she had a lot of juice with her stable that she had going. She had a lot more going on than she did on the main roster before she just became Fandango's sidekick. And Summer Rae got nothing out of that. And I felt kind of bad for her when you go back and look at things and how they all panned out. Curtis Axel. Oh, man. I've seen this guy go up and down on all the rosters. What has he done? You know, we all know. I don't even have to get into some of that. His tag partner, Bo Dallas. Bo Dallas was an excellent NXT champion. If you guys have never went back to go see Bo Dallas's NXT title reign, I absolutely love it. He was a forced babyface similar to John Cena. But when fans would boo, everyone's booing you, Bo. And he's like, no, they're chanting my name, Bo. And Bo Dallas just had comebacks for everything. He did exactly what John Cena, I felt, should have did when he was getting those reactions. But since coming up onto the main roster, Bo Dallas has been pushed down and forced into tag teams with Curtis Axel. And they've had some success, but it's only been in short spurts, and then they're forgotten about, just like they are once again now. Bray Wyatt and the Wyatt family. And I'm talking about the originals with Luke Harper and Eric Rowan. I feel like these guys have way more potential that's ever been shown by WWE. I don't get it, man. Bray Wyatt was at one point Husky Harris in the New Nexus, and they never did anything with him. Harper and Rowan definitely overlooked talents. Harper was the Intercontinental champ for what, a week, 2 weeks? And they got the belt right off of him. And I know Eric Rowan's not the one in the group to get on the microphone and talk the most, but him being in that group just makes sense, and it all fits together just so nicely. Emma and Paige, what happened to these girls? Like, they were relegated to getting pushed back after AJ left. They pushed them all back. They never seemed to like Emma. Paige never really got her footing. She started off really good. She was high on the company's radar. And then once the stuff with Del Rio happened, they were like, nah, we're done with her. And I felt like she never got the chance to really get her comeback. Lana and Rusev, another crew that's just so talented. And I just think that they're so outspoken that they're not liked. Rusev does what he wants when he wants. He cuts his hair. He announces when he's getting engaged to his girlfriend because they're not going to let WWE book their breakup. I get it, dude, completely. And I feel like Rusev really wants to do well and try his hardest for WWE, but he's starting to see that no matter what I do, they're never going to push me. Now I'm going to run through some other names real quick, and we'll just hear the names, and I'm sure you guys will hear them, and it'll all ring a bell. Adam Rose, Connor and Victor, at one point the longest reigning tag team champions down in NXT. Kalisto, him and Sin Cara, the Lucha Dragons, an awesome tag team down in NXT. And I know they had their moments, and it's the same thing now, but at this point, the Lucha House Party throwing pinata candy out into the crowd. Really, dude? Really? Sasha Banks. Sasha Banks is someone who I felt they could have done a whole hell of a lot more with on the main roster. She's a 4 times women's champ, yes, but she's lost them all in a day, basically. It absolutely sucks the way they've treated Sasha thus far. Hence why she's got the belts. Hashtag AEW effect. You know what? I mentioned Becky before being one of those top prospects. I forgot to mention Charlotte with that. WWE has done right by Charlotte, too, on the main roster. We mentioned him. Sami Zayn. Another guy who I thought was so much better on NXT as that baby face that we could all get behind and cheer. And I still feel that's Sami's best role. But the heel stuff was cool for a little while it was happening. I enjoyed it because it was a different look for Sami Zayn. But I just feel like he's not getting that. I feel like he could be in a sympathetic Rey Mysterio role, and he's just not in there. Baron Corbin, so much better on NXT. Enzo Amore, Big Cass, Apollo Crews, someone who got called up too early. Nia Jax, too early. Aiden English with Rusev. Oh, what a waste of talent. Like, dude, reading these names makes me depressed. Like, how did they screw this up? It just is saddening, dude. Like, it's horrible. Dana Brooke. Dana Brooke was doing really well on NXT. Brought her up too early, and I think they just ruined it. Mojo. I don't know. What happened to the Mojo vignettes? I just thought about that. Didn't they do a vignette with Mojo talking into the mirror about himself? What happened? What the hell, dude? Finn Balor. Finn Balor was treated like he was the top star ever in NXT. I thought this dude was never going to lose. Like, he won every match. And I'm not like Finn Balor's biggest fan at all. But I don't hate the guy either. I think Finn's pretty good. But Finn would always win. He was treated like a top dog. Remember Jason Jordan and Chad Gable? Dude, American Alpha was an awesome tag team. Come up to the main roster, win the belts, lose them real quick, and then they break them up. Why? And maybe that's something to do with the talent behind it, but why? Bayley, same thing as Sasha, wasted. Rich Swann. Rich Swann is someone who I semi-feel bad for. I don't know what happened with him and his wife. I don't want to speak about that. That's not my business. Not my place to speak about, but Rich Swann was a hell of a talent, and he just got let go, and I want Rich Swann to know that. So if you guys ever get a chance and he's listening to a podcast, you let Rich Swann hear it. Rich, you're a hell of a talent. Stay in the pro wrestling business. You got something. Austin Aries, another guy that I've always liked going back to his Ring of Honor days, and Austin Aries was mistreated. I went to WrestleMania 33. Him and Neville had a damn good opening match for the kickoff show. I was there. I loved it. And what did they do with Austin Aries? Oh, it's part of the WrestleMania show. It's not on the DVD. I didn't get any royalties. Austin Aries was out. He wasn't going for that bullshit. Samoa Joe, the man was treated as a monster down in NXT, and he didn't have a long reign down there as champion or anything, but he didn't need to because Samoa Joe's name rang bells. And Samoa Joe also was someone that the fans knew and could get behind. And Joe has done impressive things on the main roster, but they've never went all the way with him. And I think they should still. And hopefully he gets one WWE title run out of this. I can only hope. The Revival, wasted. Absolutely wasted until recently. Hashtag AEW effect. Ty Dillinger. How can you not feel bad for this dude? He comes all the way back to WWE, fights his way back into the company, leaves NXT on the highest note, debuts in the Royal Rumble at the 10 spot, and nothing done with him. And then these last two real quick before I get into the next section of call-ups that's more recent. Shinsuke Nakamura and Bobby Roode in the 2017 class. Dude, Bobby Roode is now tagging with Chad Gable. But Bobby Roode was one of the best heels that NXT had. Absolutely great. Bobby Roode was somebody who had the swagger. They used to call him the it factor. And I think Bobby Roode could be a much bigger player on the main roster than he is. And Shinsuke Nakamura, I know some of you don't want to hear it, but I don't give a damn. Like, if you're going to give me the excuses that, oh, Creative couldn't put the world title on Shinsuke because he can't speak English, I don't want to hear it. You're called Creative for a damn reason, and you did nothing with this man. Absolutely nothing. Well, I don't know what you're talking about because Shinsuke Nakamura is not that exciting. Not that exciting? Oh, really?
Thank you, Shinsuke, indeed.
That said it all right there.
This man, a legend in his own time. One of the best to ever step in that ring.
Man, if someone tells you Shinsuke Nakamura wasn't over, tell them to kiss your ass because I was in the building that night when that happened. That was the NXT TakeOver Orlando. That was the night before WrestleMania 33. Shinsuke Nakamura was the effing man in that building that night. The cheers were so loud for him. I just couldn't believe it. Everyone stayed just so they could make sure they were part of Shinsuke Nakamura being sent off correctly. And people really have the nerve to say, well, you know, he's not that over. He's not that good. Stuff it. All right. Let's get back into some of these call-ups, though. And let's look at the recent ones, though. Now, we talked about a lot of these other guys from before. But let's talk about some of the other guys who have recently come up. And I haven't seen too much done with them. Like the Riot Squad. They've improved. They've grown on me, but I still think they could be doing a lot more with them at this point where they are. Sonya Deville and Mandy Rose, I see big things in their future, but they're not doing too much with them. So why were these guys called up? Like, there hasn't been really any storyline or direction with any of them. Same thing here when you look at some of these other teams. We've already mentioned a lot of these other guys that I'm looking at right now for 2017. But, you know, like, why? Why waste the time? And I pose this question, guys, which I think is tough. I'm going to start naming some names, and it's going to be a fight to determine who's like the absolute worst class ever to be called up from NXT? And maybe that's a question I pose to all of you. Please give me your response. But who was the worst class to be called up from NXT to not get anything from it? Look at people like Andrade, Andrade Cien Almas, and Zelina Vega. They were wasted for so long on NXT. There were weeks where they just weren't doing anything. You're like, where's Andrade? Oh, I'm sorry. He's not around this week. He's not even in a backstage segment or anything. Sanity, where the hell have they been? They're on Twitter complaining. They must have a long contract because Vince doesn't seem to care, but he'll care when it's almost up. Eric Young and his group Insanity have been wasted, including Nikki Cross. They've just done a lot of hokey crap with them. Not a fan of how they've been treating them. Asuka. I mean, Asuka was pushed very hard, and I think that the WWE did a good job in the beginning with her, but after she lost to Charlotte, she ends up losing to Carmella. Her accolades are great, but some part of her runs just haven't been used that well. And let's look at to recent times. When's the last time Asuka was on TV? Who's Asuka fighting at WrestleMania? Nobody knows. Nobody cares. The Iconics. Now, on the Elimination Chamber show with Brian Williams and Malik Kelly, we were all in there talking about the Iconics. Now, listen, I absolutely love Peyton Royce. Good in the ring. I enjoy her. But when they are together on the main roster, they are so annoying that they have that go-away heat with me. And it's nothing personal to them. It's just as a character, I don't want to see them when they're going to be super annoying like that. I would really like to see them treated better and put in a better role. And I think eventually these two could be your NXT Women's Tag Team Champions. Excuse me, your WWE Women's Tag Team Champions. Pardon. We talked about Joe. Let's look at Drew McIntyre. I think he was someone who never needed to be in NXT, but he did a good job, went down there, helped put some guys over. Put himself over. Drew McIntyre has been an absolute beast, but now he's been running around in this feud with Braun Strowman, and I think that is horrible for his career. So WWE, let's turn it around here. Let's do something better, because Drew was one of the people I considered to be in the main event picture for the Universal title, but WWE went with Seth Rollins instead. Oh my God, AOPP, also known as the Authors of Pain, a powerhouse down at NXT. And now they're with someone who's not Paul Ellering. They're with Drake Maverick, who's a GM on 205 Live as a babyface, but a heel manager on Raw. Oh, frick, dude. I don't even want to speak on it. They've screwed them up so bad. Elias. Elias is someone who was a brighter spot for the main roster. He was better on the main roster than NXT, in my opinion. I actually hated Elias on NXT. I thought he was so annoying, even at that WrestleMania 33 show where he tried to come in as someone else with a mask on. Elias has improved leaps and bounds, too. He's grown on me, so I'll give him credit for that. The Singh brothers, I've got nothing to say. They're with Jinder Mahal, so they're kind of in that slump. And Jinder Mahal is another NXT talent who got called up. But Jinder has far exceeded what I ever thought he would get in the WWE. And did he get a little too much, in my opinion? Yeah, I wouldn't have did it. But I don't know. Jinder is better on the main roster, too. No Way Jose. Where the hell has this dude been? You put him in the Royal Rumble, he gets eliminated and goes up the ramp dancing. I wouldn't be dancing about anything if I lost my chance at the WWE title and a shot to go to WrestleMania. Ember Moon is injured. Ember Moon has been stop, push, go. D push. They don't know what they want to do with Ember Moon. And we've talked about some of the others already with that. But let's look at some of these people with this newest class. Now, we called up Heavy Machinery, Nikki Cross, a bunch of others. And what has that gotten us? Lacey Evans, all these guys are basically not talking. Like, I don't know if I muted my TV or what. EC3 hasn't really spoken. Lacey Evans hasn't said much. Heavy Machinery's went out there, talked a little bit. Nikki Cross has been just wild and crazy, but she's been losing matches. Why did you call these guys up, Vince? Someone has to have answers for this shit. I want someone who gets on these stockholder calls or these meetings when they have them and ask him, what are you doing with some of your talent? Why are they being called up and nothing's happening with them? Is there a plan for these characters? And I'd love to see them wiggle their way out of that one. Like, oh, dude. Oh, man, I'm trying not to drop the F-bomb. But they're making it real hard. They waste so much talent. I fear for people like the Velveteen Dream, the Undisputed Era. You heard Adam Cole at the top of this podcast. The NXT is way better than the WWE. And you could tell by how I'm talking that I feel that way. I hope and pray that WWE gets it together. We mentioned some other people before who have been called up to the main roster, along with the EC3 call-up, Heavy Machinery. And these guys have just not been used properly. And it goes all the way back to last night. And I'm sorry, where's Lars Sullivan? I forgot about him. Where the hell is Lars Sullivan? Nobody knows. Because they stopped showing vignettes, and maybe it's on Lars from what we've heard from rumors backstage about the anxiety attack. Do something with these guys, WWE. You have way too much talent. Now, who knows what we're going to get out of this? I want to bring up something, too, that was on Instagram, but this goes back to what I wanted to say about the guys that we had last night on the show. Johnny Gargano, Tommaso Ciampa, Ricochet, and Aleister Black, all tremendous talents. Grade A main eventers in NXT, in my opinion. What's the problem then? The problem is that they were put in front of a bad crowd, and I fear for how the main roster is going to use them. I really do. I can't. It's bad when you say you can't trust WWE with anybody at this point. Even back in the day when we knew who they were going to push. Now, dude, I don't know who to trust. Like, they've ruined almost every single person that's come up. And let me ask you this while you're listening to me. Do you think WWE has done a good job bringing their NXT roster up? Because I don't. I absolutely think their stories suck. And I think they have ruined a lot of things. But let's get into something I saw earlier while I was at work today. A special announcement will be made. Get ready, because this week's NXT will feature a special announcement. With no additional details currently available, speculation about what's in store for the Black and Gold brand is running wild. Be among the first to find out when NXT streams Wednesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 7 Central on the WWE Network. What could this mean for NXT? I think it could mean a lot of things. I think that we could potentially see them as a third brand and getting 2 hours of television so that they could put more people there because they're realizing that they can't do it all. I think we could see even potentially a change into their television tapings. Maybe it goes live. Maybe we see the television tapings, instead of waiting 4 weeks to tape, they go to two. Who knows what's in store for NXT as a brand? I don't know. I'm not too sure. But I just really hope that WWE gets their act together. And I'm praying that AEW or something knocks them on their ass and Vince McMahon and Triple H and company decide it's time to fight. And we're going to fight back against all of these guys. Stephanie, Road Dogg, Triple H, everybody get everything lined up because we're going to have to be ready to go to war with these guys. And I don't want there to be a war. I want there to be more companies in wrestling. Trust me. And I'm not going to be Mr. like, oh, AEW is the greatest thing. We have to wait and see. We have to wait and see. But I want competition. I want something that makes Vince McMahon fearful and make him say, I have to do my best every single week, because that's at the point where we're at. We can't trust Vince to do it on his own. And it's time for Vince McMahon to be better. But other than that, guys, I want to thank each and every one of you who have taken time out to listen to the podcast this week. Make sure that you guys subscribe to the podcast. You can listen to us on Anchor. If Anchor's not working for you, I heard some people from across the pond tell me that Anchor wasn't working for them over in Europe. If you're from another country, let me know if you're having issues too. But you can listen also on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and TuneIn. And they're on other platforms as well, even Breaker, CastBox. I have a few more. So if you guys need a new way to listen to the podcast, please reach out to me and I'll make sure of it. Big shout out to everyone who showed me love this week. The guys at Everything College Basketball, my guy Fowl, I appreciate you. Wilfred, Omega Luke, Malik Kelly, Brian Williams, Brian Mazik. You guys have all motivated me this week to do better. And it's WrestleMania season, so we got to produce the best content that we can. And like I said, guys, I want to make this show by the fans, for the fans, and I'm here for you. With all that being said, let's count the 1, 2, 3, and get out of here. Peace.